your source for all things Texas Tech. This is the Ask Level Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome into another episode of the Ask Level Podcast alongside Chris Level. I'm Choice Woodman. This podcast brought to you by our friends at Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Christopher Level, how are we today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. It's been an interesting little stretch for me, back-to-back road games. Obviously, baseball's been going on. A lot of changes with the NCAA and, you know, suggestions of expanding tournaments and first round buys in football for playoffs and all kinds of things going on. We're putting microphones and helmets and we're arguing now over how many people get a microphone in their helmet or a headset in their helmet. So yeah, yeah. Just, I mean, there's a lot going on these days, but I've obviously been with the Tech men's basketball team, and here you are in early March, and it's about to get really, really interesting right now. So,
yeah, a lot to dive into. We'll get through it. Let's go to basketball first, as that's where you're coming. We're recording a little later in the week. What we've seen is a couple of wins in a row, and after this team, you know, kind of hit a wall, was struggling a little bit. You find a way to overcome a 20-4 deficit in Morgantown and win that one, and then get off to a much faster start in Stillwater and just kind of roll from there. So do you feel like the team is clicking again? Obviously still without Warren Washington, have been for 5 out of the last 6 games, 3 in a row. But do you feel like that there was a corner turn in Stillwater, or can you even say that since it was that opponent?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to – I think it's – you know, some people are going to look at this and be like, hey, man, you haven't really done anything because you beat a couple of teams that are at the lower end of the standings. I mean, I just know from doing this as long as I have, you've taken pretty good teams up to Morgantown and places like Stillwater, and you've come out, you know, yep, on the wrong side of it. And I just don't think you can gloss over any kind of road win in this league in particular. And that's the beauty of – because you look at those two teams in particular, they've beaten some of the best teams in this league. And I think especially at home. And I think I just didn't want to assume anything, but I think it's pretty impressive that you've been able to go sweep that trip.
Sure.
And set yourself up now to where now you really, you know, you're comfortably in. And now it's just a matter of where you would be in, whether it be the Big 12 tournament or NCAA tournament. And I think there's probably a different sense of urgency that I thought you've played mostly the entire game in Stillwater and the last 30 minutes of the game in Morgantown with, that I think is kind of a clicking type. You know, I think Chance McMillan's kind of gotten back in a groove. I think that's been big. I think Joe Toussaint has back to playing a good floor game, and then obviously Pop found his stroke a bit in Stillwater, and then Darian Williams, I think, has kind of played his way into a conversation where he's like an all-conference type player. I really do.
I agree.
I just think he's been not only one of your best players, but maybe your most important. I mean, the way you post him, the way that he rebounds on a team that really struggles to rebound in Stillwater, he has 5 steals, you know, I mean, just different things that he does to fill up a stat sheet. And he just does it with, I don't know, this kind of innocence or this grace or this unforced feeling where he's just playing the game and he's just kind of, I don't know. He's been a really, you know, fun guy to watch compete and really flourish.
I feel like some fans want him to be more assertive, like, you know, force the issue a little bit more because of how much success he's had. So,
but yeah, I think that's the beauty of his game is he's just not going to do that.
Yeah. It's not him.
Yeah. He's going to play. He's going to take what the game gives him. He's going to, you know, and I think he does take you know, he hunts his shot on occasion. I mean, I think they want him to, but I don't think it's like, you know, he's not calling his own number. A lot of this is just in the flow of the game, which is why it's so much fun to watch him affect the games in so many different ways that doesn't necessarily involve scoring at times. And that's, I really appreciate guys like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's been a treat to watch Darian Williams and his development. And every time I'm reminded, hey, this guy is just a sophomore. It's great because you've got this guy for
he was a good get choice
for sure.
I mean, he was a really, you know, he was a good get. This is kind of what you want to major in. There's so many different philosophies when it comes to the portal.
Yeah.
And every situation is different based on what I need, what I'm looking for, and then based on what the player is, and is there a relationship there or whatever. But boy, if you can live off of like the mid-major types that were overlooked and they've showed up at the mid-major level and that are much better than that or wanting more, and they've got multiple years to play for you, you're checking a lot of positive boxes there. Like, and I think Chance McMillan and Darian Williams, both they were a hit, you know, like you didn't miss on either one of those guys.
Absolutely.
And you're going to get multiple years with them both.
Yep. And that, let's reverse it to kind of an opposite situation. First question from the audience from Leah says, what's going on with Kyron Lindsey? I heard McCaslin's explanation yesterday. So does that mean Lindsey has opted out, or what's happening?
You tell me what you gleaned from what Grant said when asked about that. Like, I just wanted your unfiltered opinion.
Well, I heard the kind of implications in the pregame interview too with Hacks yesterday, where he says he talks about defense. If you're not going to play defense, I mean, that can go straight to pointing to the Texas game and just the two layups he just lets go by. I don't know. I think it is pointed without directly saying someone's name. I think it was pointed directly at him. So I don't know if that means his locker's cleaned out right now or anything like that. But I don't think we're going to see Kyron Lindsey play on the floor for Texas Tech again. Just my guess.
It just may not be a fit here.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's sure. The beauty of the portal. And everybody can kind of get what they want. You know, if you want to go play more elsewhere or in a different style, and we can go find somebody else to fit what we need. And, you know, that's the – and I think Grant's trying to answer questions without making it, you know, personal or anything. He's just kind of telling people what they're wanting to know. And
yeah,
there's an uncomfortability with it too, on just kind of like, ooh, you know, because I mean, it's not really like a call out, but it is. I mean, you know, I think you're probably, if I was guessing, you know, I think you're probably right. I don't know. And again, you don't want to talk in absolutes here and totally rule out, like, man, I get it. I want to be here. I want to be coached hard. I commit to being, you know, but for it to get to this point is because the last time we've seen him was in Central Florida when he, you know, came in for, I think, less than 30 seconds and just dropped a pass that was right to him. And he just, and then that was it. And he just subbed right back out. And then here we are with these two. Well, you know, I guess he was with the team for the Texas game, but I don't think he played.
If he did, it was very brief.
But that's, you know, so that's kind of where it was just trending in the wrong direction. But that's why, you know, the portal opens up on, it's like March the 18th, I think. It's like the Monday of the NCAA tournament week, I think. And so a lot of this movement is going to start to happen fairly quickly with in and out. And
do you think it should be later? I mean, for those coaches that are participating in the tournament and that sort of thing, do you think it should be pushed back on the opening date?
Maybe. But yeah, and I'm trying to remember how long the rules changed so much. I'm trying to remember how long that window is for. Like, opens up on the 18th and closes on, was it like May the 1st?
Yeah, I think it's
so it's about a 6-week
period.
period, give or take.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Ish. In other words, you have to be in. You have to be in by then. And then there's these caveats where, like, you know, Joe Toussaint triggered one of those words, like, hey, man, even if it's after the window closes and your coach is whatever, then you have it's like, okay, well, then you, everybody on that roster, it's kind of like the whole Nick Saban thing
like
this
a month.
Past year.
Yeah,
you get a 30-day period. But yeah, it can lead to some multitasking for sure. But this is why a lot of these staffs, Texas Tech included, have what they would term as like personnel guys or like general managers to manage and deal with some of those things while games are potentially still being played and game planned for and practiced for and all those kinds of things. But I just know this, there's going to be a lot of movement that's going to happen fairly quickly here coming up. And some of that is dictated by guys wanting to play more or man, it's just not a fit here. Or, hey, so-and-so school is going to make a change with their coach and then they're going to hire a new one. And then it just like this whole, that's just part of the cycle. But you look at your roster and it's like, you already know, you know, Drew Steffi's spot needs to be filled. You've got Joe Toussaint and Warren Washington's spots need to be filled. And then you know, it's a fair question to ask on a guy like Kyron Lindsey, maybe a guy like, DeMarion Williams or Lamar Washington, or I can't remember if DeMar can come back or not.
I think Williams is a super senior at this point. I think so. You had three that on this roster that aren't.
So that's
back.
A spot too. Yeah. You know, but yeah, bottom line is, yeah, you've got some guys that you're going to add to your roster. And I wrote this on RedRaiderSports.com, but I just don't think that you're going to see Texas Tech get caught with this lack of depth or being this undersized anymore now that they have a full cycle, because they've been through the league and they've been compromised and they kind of see it's hard to play a bunch of guys 35 minutes and expect them to hold up and to play at a high level. And so, yeah, you need depth, because it's like when Joey would talk about Tony Bradford and Jalen Hutchings when they were juniors or technically seniors, but they could come back for the 1 year. He's like, I hope they do come back and I hope they play less next year. And people are like, what? Why would you want them to come back and actually play less? Well, you want more around them. So when they do play, they give you more productive snaps. I think the same could be, you know, you may get a better version of, say, Pop Isaacs playing 28 minutes a night as opposed to 35 minutes a night on average. You get more efficiency, more explosiveness, more durability, all the stuff. And so, in theory, maybe that's what you're looking to do, but they need to get bigger. But yeah, I don't know if we've answered the question about Kyron, because I don't think we ultimately know how this is going to go. And I didn't know when asked what Grant McCaslin was going to say. It was pretty clear in some of the releases that were sent out that Kyron's not injured. Mm-hmm. That some of the injured players, Devin and Warren, they went to Morgantown, but it's just like Kyron Lindsey didn't make the trip.
Right.
You know, and so there's reasons why, and I guess now that you know them.
Yeah, I think so. One more basketball question, then we'll move on to the college football playoff world and some strange stuff happening there. The basketball one level is, what now? What's the seed look like for Texas Tech if the season ended today? What bracketology do you believe? What are you not? And if you win on Saturday against Baylor, what does that mean for all that conversation?
Yes, all we can do is go off of what we know right now.
Yeah.
And I think the Baylor game, this is the scary thing about the two games you've just won, is that they don't necessarily help you a ton. But boy, they could have really hurt you on paper.
Sure.
With the net ranking, which is what the selection committee looks at, and then just your resume, it would have been perceived as a bad loss. But it's not perceived necessarily as a good win. You and I both know that these were meaningful wins, and it gets you to the 20 and the 21st win, and all those things. But you know, the beauty of the Baylor game is, win it, great. If you lose it, it's not going to hammer you because Baylor is ranked so high in the net and all those things. But it really could, you know, move you up a line or two on the seed as far as the NCAA tournament. I think what you've done is, at worst, you're going to have a top 30 resume, I think, in the country. I think that, you know, you don't have as many quad one wins as some others in your general vicinity, but I think you get some rub for being in the Big 12. You don't have any bad losses on paper. Maybe the Cincinnati game at home is as close as you're going to find to what would be perceived as a bad loss. Although at the time, I think they were that they were decently ranked in the net and otherwise.
Still as of when we record this right now, 45 in the net. So it's still not a bad loss on paper.
And that's the worst one you have. And they're injured and some different things. But I think prior to these back-to-back road wins, I think you were kind of looking at like the 9 or 10 range. Now after these two wins, I think you're back up into the 6-7 range.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a 6-3 seeded matchup in one of the brackets. You playing Duke in Pittsburgh. I've seen, you know, a 7-10 game with you playing Nevada in Charlotte. I mean, you know, so it's just kind of – you know, you're not sure what you're going to get, but when you think about like being ranked in the top 25, or I'm telling you a top 30 resume, that basically reeks of like that 6-7 range again right now. And we will never know until they release it, like how much credit they're giving the Big 12,
right,
or, you know, lack of credit, you know, I mean, like, you know, because sometimes you could go, oh boy, they heavily slanted toward the Big 12 teams. They have a healthy respect for playing in that league and where you finished in it and all those different things. But you don't ultimately know until it's released. But that's what I think right now on kind of where you're at. But the, what's on the line, you know, with the Baylor game is that I think that, you know, you win it and you guarantee yourself a double bye, you know, in the conference tournament. And it's one more day to rest Warren. It's one more day to just get your team rest, and one less game to put yourself in harm's way from an injury or whatever it may be. And because your resume doesn't necessarily, that game that you would play on a Wednesday, if you have to play it, more than likely would only, you know, be a perceived negative, you know, like, you know, and so it'd be nice not to have to play it. But because the way it stands, you know, obviously at the time that we're taping this, on this night, Iowa State will host BYU. If you're a Texas Tech fan, you want Iowa State to hold serve at home and remain undefeated at home. You need BYU to take the loss. And then at that point, win or lose, you know, it's basically you in Kansas for that final double bye. And, you know, you've got the home game versus Baylor. Kansas has to go to arguably the number one team in the country and a team trying to, on senior day, trying to win the Big 12 championship outright against the University of Houston. And so, you know, I think if BYU goes down tonight and you can't get it done against Baylor, all you just need to do is Houston to win, and you've got all the tiebreakers because you've got the head-to-head wins over these two teams.
Yeah.
And then you would get the double bye. But if you win it on Saturday, then it's a moot point on your senior day. So that's kind of where what it looks like right now. And you had I think you were like at a 42 net ranking prior to the game in Stillwater. Now it's at 35. So it jumped up seven spots. So,
I think if you beat Baylor, I believe the way the tie breaks work, I think you move ahead of Baylor to get the 3 seed as well, because of the wins and how they've fallen for both of those teams too.
It's possible. I think there's some other things at play there too, but you know, now I'm just,
other results.
As long as you can just get the, you know, I mean, take care of your business and I'll let the chips fall. Cause I mean, you're going to like the results if you can beat Baylor, which is not going to be easy, and still don't know about Warren, but Baylor is just one of these teams in this league that hasn't had the best league records, not going to win the Big 12 championship. However, the way they are constructed with their youth and upside, I think a lot of people feel like they could do serious damage in the, you know, NCAA tournament, just because they have some youth that is kind of peaking right now. They've got a couple of maybe one and dones and Jacoby Walter and Yev Meese. So We'll see. And then Jalen Bridges the other night goes for 32 points, the West Virginia transfer against Texas. So they've just got a lot of nice pieces. And Ray J. Dennis is phenomenal. They've been missing a key piece, too, in Langston Love for the last 3 weeks. And he's like would have been maybe sixth man of the year had he stayed healthy. So anyway, just yeah, it's the beauty of being in this league, man. Oh, there's just juice all over the place.
And when you're involved, I mean, it's hard to find anything better in sports than March Madness. This time of year is just
it's amazing. It's funny that you say that because I enjoy it no matter what, but it's especially much more fun when your team is involved. And we had that little stretch there where you were in the tournament, was it 4 or 5 years in a row? And then you have the issue last year where you're just like, oh no, you know, are we going to ever get it back? And in year one, Grant McCaslin, because I looked this up. This is just the seventh double-digit win team that Texas Tech is going to have in the Big 12 Conference. In other words, double-digit wins in the league, seventh time in 28 years. So this is a bit and you could argue this league this year may be as good or better than any other year previously. That could be debated, but it's certainly in the very short conversation based on all the data and opinion and otherwise, and the fact that you're going to end up with at least 10 conference wins says a lot about what Grant's been able to do in year one.
No question. So we will obviously talk some more basketball when we reconvene, but college football playoff, you and I talked about it last time we recorded about the potential for this is going beyond this next cycle of the 24 and 25 college football playoffs, but looking ahead to 26 and beyond with the new contracts, we talked about the potential of the SEC and the Big Ten getting three automatic bids and then the Big 12 and the ACC getting two automatic bids with the 14-team playoff. But then something comes out this week where Ross Dellinger reports the Big Ten and the SEC are trying to negotiate for exclusive rights to the two byes within the 14-team playoff. And Sonny Dykes is saying things that has me agreeing with him, which is uncomfortable. And there's
Mike Gundy.
Yeah. There's backlash from these schools, the ones that are not on the right side of it. But that just seems silly, right? I mean, to anybody trying to make sense of it, why do they need it? That's my first question is 9 out of 10 times they're going to get those two byes anyway. So why do they want to lock it into a contract? Are they protecting themselves from each other? So we don't have two SEC teams with a bye or two Big Ten teams with a bye.
These are leverage plays. These are playing cards that they may be able to play. It's a negotiation. It's you know, you're floating the trial balloon, but you're like, okay, let's ask for this, and maybe we'll just settle for that kind of deal. It's unhealthy for the sport because it allows for the perception that, while maybe true, that there are, you know, different levels to these leagues. And I think that you've kind of, whether semantics or not, or whether, you know, I'm being Pollyannish or not, you know, you want to think there's an equal to being a Division I college football member. And maybe there's a difference, obviously, in the Power Five, what used to be, and now Power Four, and then everybody else, the Group of Five folks. But that's the problem with these discussions, is that it creates a dynamic of different levels to it, and a less than feeling. And I think that is what makes everybody uncomfortable. I think that this is the Big Ten and the SEC's way of kind of flexing a little bit, and you know, whether it's threatening to like, yeah, we're just going to do our own thing. You know, we're just, you know, or we want the buys, or we want more money. They're trying to leverage their situation. And this is why Brett Yormark has been so, not just shouting it from the mountaintops and outspoken, but that's why he's kind of in favor of expanding the NCAA tournament, because he thinks that benefits his league. Whereas, you know, you've got Greg Sankey and the Big Ten commissioner kind of trying to leverage their stance because they can, you know, and how do we end up? I'm not real sure. I'm uncomfortable with the automatic buys. I think that's a bit tricky. I think that there's been some valid points made. And yeah, what are you afraid? I mean, I get that. What are you afraid of? Why do you feel like you need it? Why? What makes this fair? And I don't think they're worried about any of those things. They're not worried about perception, or they're not worried about fair or unfair. They're trying to create the easiest path. I mean, it's like the equivalent of saying Brett Yormark should fight and strongly suggest, and you could even make a valid argument, if you're going to do this on this deal, give the top four Big 12 teams, you know, just move them into the second round of the NCAA tournament automatically just because they're in the Big 12. And that seems kind of silly, but if we're doing this, then let's play ball. But
Curtis,
I don't know if anybody else would agree to that. And I don't think that, and so how do we end up here? I don't know, Joyce. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how you can squawk and squeal and complain. And I just don't know where the compromise is here.
Yeah. It could be like the Big 12. Hey, we're guaranteed at least one seed in the NCAA tournament every year. It's like,
and these are different events run by different people,
absolutely,
with different payouts. And that's the tricky part. It's not apples to apples here. However, that's all I can go off of. And I think that it's one of those scenarios where, okay, let's just play this out. If we're going to give you two automatic qualifiers in the playoff, we get these buys. Or do you just want one automatic qualifier and you want to chance it? You know, like what game do you want to play? Like, what are you willing to live with? I mean, I don't know the conversations, but I think maybe until we hear more,
yeah,
maybe that was the, hey, we'll give you two in every year. Okay, we're cool with that. But however, we're going to grease the wheel and make it an easier path for our leagues if we do that, because we control this deal. So, you know, are you going to go, no, I want just the one AQ and then we'll let the chips fall and we want to play it straight up. I don't know, but then maybe you're affecting your own financial well-being if you just agree to just the one versus the you know, see, there's a lot of dynamics at play.
Sure.
It's fairness, it's competitiveness, it's money, it's perception, it's all kinds of things being discussed here.
Yeah, a lot going on. And in that scenario, as a Big 12 fan, I would rather have the two because, again, most of the time the Big 12 or Big 10 and SEC are going to get the buys anyway. That would be my preference. But I don't know.
And you're going to get resolution on this fairly quickly.
Have to, right? Yeah.
Because ESPN is sitting there twiddling their thumbs going, is this truckload of money that we've offered you?
Yep.
Well, we're about to put this truck in. It's been sitting idle and they're about to put it in drive and drive off. Well, whether maybe that's a bluff or not, I don't know. But that's kind of what they've indicated. It's like, we've got NBA to negotiate. We've got other things. And if y'all aren't going to get something decided and we don't even know what we've paid for, then we're moving on.
Right.
You know, whether they are really willing to do that, I don't know. But that's why there's some pressure here to get something decided here fairly quickly.
Got a quick question, not really in this realm, but it is in the college football realm and futuristic talk and stuff. Andy Staples put out his 48 teams. If the Big Ten and SEC were to break off into two super leagues, two 24-team super leagues, Texas Tech was included in that in the SEC. Teams like Kansas and Duke were not. So, I mean, that's a whole thing. You can look it up. But this texter or this emailer asked this question. This one is from Lewis. It says, Level, if it were to break off into two super leagues, do you have, or how confident are you that Texas Tech would be included in one of those leagues?
So the added, let me make sure I'm right there, that what they wrote was, and it had Tech and Oklahoma State and the SEC.
Uh-huh.
Who else that isn't a current member was joining it from the SEC that was in the Big 12? Is there anybody other than those two? I believe
Kansas
there was.
State and West Virginia.
Okay, yeah.
And Utah.
Okay, okay.
They were in the Big 10, though, so.
Okay. Okay. I mean, this is where it gets political.
Mm-hmm.
This is where geography comes into play. This is where, you know, your relationship with the Texases or the Texas A&Ms or the, you know, what you bring to the table from an eyeball standpoint. I think this is also, and again, you can't pin anybody down on saying this is the most important thing or we're good in this category. It's just kind of like you try to cover your bases in a lot of aspects, but this is exactly why the powers that be wanted to really invest in brick and mortar with your stadium
right.
and facilities. Because I think as we're starting to see some of these new Big 12 additions, I've been shocked at how far off they are comparatively. And I don't think people realize how well off Texas Tech is from a facility standpoint, even with some of the current Big 12 schools.
Right.
And I think that's why you've continued to invest in brick and mortar and like actual facilities and structure that is going to be here. And why selling season tickets and an audience and all those things, you know, matter and factor in. But I'm biased, but I would think that you would have a seat at the table there. But it's not like you're a lock, you know, because so many things out of your control, you know. And I think what you've tried to do is control what you can and invest in certain things. And you know, one thing that you have going for you is you are in the state of Texas. This is where a lot of population is. Large alumni base, all those things. But, you know, politically, can somebody keep you out? Does somebody want you in? You know, those kinds of things are a bit tricky there. But and who knows if it comes to that? I don't really know. I don't think so. But, you know, the reason that would ever come into play is if they basically the Big Ten, the SEC say, you know what? Screw it. We don't like what y'all are deciding here. We want all the money. We've got the bulk of the blue bloods anyways. We're going to go do our NFL version of this deal.
Sure.
And everybody else can fight for the rest. But and we're not going to worry about it. We're going to kind of do our own thing and schedule within each other. And then it's very AFC, NFC type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're exactly right. Do you don't think we ever get to that? Or you think there is a tipping
I would
point
like
at some point?
I mean, maybe. I don't think that ultimately everybody wants to go that route. Now, maybe sure. I'm being naive, but I think that that's a clear. I mean, I get the articles and the ideas because maybe at some point we do get to that. I just don't know if anybody's in a rush to want to go that route. That's kind of like a last, you know, last option for a lot of folks. But I mean, do I think that the SEC and the Big Ten will continue to float that and threaten it? Yeah, I do. Because they could theoretically tell the NCAA to kick rocks, you know, and, you know, but again, who's running the deal?
Right.
Who's the commissioner? I mean, there's so many layers there. And then how does that factor in from all the other sports? And so is this a football only deal? I mean, there's a lot of questions that you have to get to kind of figure that deal out. And it makes my head hurt.
One more quick question from Josh. This one says, Lovell, can you give us a update on the Texas Tech football 25 recruiting class?
Well, you're just kind of getting going there. I think that they've changed a lot of the rules, and that'll get going in earnest here pretty quick. When spring football starts, you've had some junior days going on that have already kind of taken place. You're starting to extend some offers. And all that. And then you've got official visits coming up in like, what is about what, 2 months from now on campus and all those are maybe 2.5 months from now. And so it still messes with my head that you've got huge recruiting visits going on weekends when the town is just empty. Everybody's out of school vacationing. Yeah. And here the football program on every campus in the country is putting their best foot forward or trying to. This is what our city's about. This is what our school's about. And yet it's a ghost town. It's crazy to me, but this is the way the calendar works. And so, you know, you'll start to see a lot of movement there pretty quickly.
All right, Lovell. Packed a lot into one episode there. So we'll do it again. We will know your seating officially in the Big 12 tournament. And you'll be heading off to KC pretty quick too. So appreciate your time.
Yes, I'll be spending spring break, hopefully a lot of time in Kansas City. So, because those are no more true road games left. You got one home game left, and now every time I get on a plane and go somewhere, it's like win and stay, lose, come home. And, you know, it gets to be really fun and stressful this time of year, but this is what it's all about, man. That's why we love this time of year. And speaking of, we didn't even touch on that. That deal is going to get expanded too. It's not staying at 68 teams. It's going to expand.
Feels inevitable.
You can put it in Sharpie. I don't know what that looks like or by how much, but 72 or 76 team format is coming. And I think what Brett Yormark would hope is that there's more access for at-large bids to a league like the Big 12,
sure.
Because that's more revenue and all those things. So I still can't figure out them terming it. We have to expand it for its own survival. I don't really know what they mean by that. Like it's I don't know. I need to hear more of the.
Yeah, I think it's doing pretty well, but
it's, you know, and the purists out there, you know, it's like it's going to drive them crazy, but I don't know. And maybe we have a first eight instead of a first four in Dayton. I don't know what they do, but I'm kind of fascinated to see that. But, sure. You know,
yeah. It's coming.
76 teams don't really fit on my sheet that I print off. You know what
right.
I mean? I mean, it's like I don't. Yeah, if you need more lines.
The
I don't
cleanliness
know what...
of it. I know the OCD part of me is bothered by thinking you're going to anything more. It's just maybe 32 more so you can have buys. I don't know. It's just it's going to be odd. But Level, appreciate you as usual. We'll do it again next week.
And thank you to the folks at Kentex Roofing, for sponsoring these podcasts.
Sure.
Enjoy being with the Choice every week. March Madness is here. Spring football is about to start. Baseball is welcoming in the Texas Longhorns in this weekend. And a lot going on. But this is what we do. So, Choice, appreciate the time. Keep hope alive, everybody. And we'll talk to you next time.
That's Chris Level. I'm Choice Woodman. You've been tuned in to the Ask Level podcast brought to you by Double T 97.3.
You've been listening to the Ask Level podcast, powered by Double T 97.3.